Welcome to the SearchUnifiedCommunications.com podcast. This is Elaine Hom, Associate Editor. Joining me today is expert John Arnold, here to discuss VoIP Islands. Thanks for joining us, John.
Oh, you're welcome, Elaine.
So tell us a little bit about what you mean by IP PBXs being voice-centric and the limitations of this compared to the broader world of converged communications, which includes and integrates other modes such as video, chat, email, etc.
Well, sure, Elaine. Yeah, I mean, we could talk for quite a while. There's a lot there. But the basic idea is this, that PBX vendors, you know, the ones we all know, the Nortels and, Siemens, etc., the ones who've been doing this for a long time, have been in the phone business. And as PBXs have evolved into IP-based PBXs, they're basically still telephony devices. And they're very good at what they do, but an IP PBX is, for the most part, replicating what a PBX has always done. It does a good job of that, but the fact is that in a converged world of communications, the definition of communications becomes a little broader than just telephony. And so while an IP PBX may be a more cost-effective solution to upgrading a PBX, it gives you a little bit of a capability in terms of what converged communications can do, but it's very limited. And the bigger picture now moves into multimedia communications. And that's where SIP and SIP trunking comes in to help support it. But basically, it's pretty easy to see that it's a much richer environment when you can mix voice and data and video into a single session. You can get a lot more done with a lot more people. They're telephony devices. They're not built into the broader fabric of what communications is becoming in the world of IP and SIP trunking and web-based services. So it's a step ahead in terms of evolution of telephony, but in some ways it's a step behind in terms of the broader evolution of communications in the enterprise environment.
Why should service providers embrace SIP trunking, and why should this matter to enterprises?
Well, that's a bit of a two-sided coin there. You know, the service providers have made a very good return on their networks by, you know, making you pay for all the features that you use and controlling, you know, the rates that you charge for long distance, et cetera, and all these kind of services. And clearly that is going away, and service providers are in a lot of risk, or face a lot of risk, I should say, of losing their subscribers to other forms of service. And some of these could be web-based, they could be coming from cable companies, they could be coming from CLECs who are embracing just IP-based telephony service. So if you're a conventional service provider, you may make good money still on your traditional services, but if you don't get into SIP trunking, you're going to risk losing your customers as they start to discover the value of converged communications. So if I'm an enterprise, which is our readership here, why this should be important to me is the fact that you should be demanding this of your service provider, because it's a bit of a blockage for you if you don't have it, because now you're just going to get that IP PBX I was describing to you earlier, but you're only going to get half the story. And unless that service provider can give you SIP trunking, it's going to be hard to get the rest of it. And you will either have to wait for them to catch up, or you may end up going elsewhere once you discover this is something you just simply have to be more competitive. So it's a message that the service providers need to hear, and they're only going to hear it when they start losing customers.
As end-to-end IP becomes more of a reality and VoIP islands disappear, what can enterprises expect to see? How will their worlds change?
Well, sure. I guess that's the happy ending, right? I mean, that's what we're all looking for. I discussed in my articles that VoIP islands weren't something that enterprises have deliberately created. It's just kind of been a byproduct of how the technology has unfolded. But, you know, once we do have an end-to-end world, and we're definitely a few years away from it, but we're getting closer all the time, what they're going to see is, this notion of the IP PBX as being a phone system is going to sound very, very antiquated. The idea here is that your communications is really, it happens anywhere you have a broadband connection. So you can be just as effective communicating using a mobile phone, whether it's a smartphone or even an iPhone, which I'm loath to call a smartphone these days. But anyways, a mobile device, it could come from your PC screen. It could even come from a TV screen. And of course, it could come from your desk phone. But the point is that it's where the broadband connection comes in is really where the power lies. And that shifts the balance away from the IPPBX being the center of your communications environment to wherever it is you have broadband and you need to be. And so that means that the mobile worker has just as much capability as the desk-bound worker, whether you are in the office, at home, on the road in your car, traveling by air, away at a conference, whatever it is. This idea, once these islands disappear, so to speak, you're freely communicating over broadband to any other SIP-enabled endpoint. And in that world, you have this whole experience of real-time multimedia, and that means you can mix your modes quite freely. And that's really the big payoff of this, is that in one session it may just make sense to have a phone call, but in another session it may make sense to launch into a conference session and have chat going and maybe have some video going and some file sharing going. The point is that you will have the tools to mix and match that suit the communications need. And everyone will have capabilities to use those tools. It won't be controlled by an administrator or your manager. Every end user will have that same set of capabilities. And that's a very powerful proposition. And any enterprise, I'm sure, can see that when you can do that, your ability to communicate becomes much more powerful, both internally as an organization, but also what you can do with your customers. And that all of a sudden makes your communications environment a little bit more strategic. So that's the kind of a payoff that I would see when these islands disappear. When you have end-to-end IP, you know, any endpoint that supports SIP all of a sudden can do almost limitless amount of things in terms of how you communicate.
Okay. How much weight should be given to the financial ROI around linking VoIP islands, and what other factors need to be considered?
Well, you know, financial ROI, I think, takes the argument only so far. You can certainly make a case to save money on long-distance costs and trunking costs and eliminating some hardware like media gateways. I think those benefits are fairly well understood. And in some cases, it's sufficient to make the case to use SIP trunking. However, what you really are trying to show is that, just as I've been describing in the previous question, if those islands disappear and that end-to-end SIP connectivity starts to happen in a big way, and you start to see all the possibilities, now the benefits go far beyond just the financial model. And they really start translating into productivity, and you can measure that 100 different ways. And it also, I think more importantly, is a strategic benefit that helps make your business more competitive. And this gets into the area of what they call, you know, the CEBP, right? Communications-enabled business processes, where the communications tools all of a sudden make your business run more efficiently. So it's just not person to person, but it's person to group, and it's the whole organization-wide level of how you do things. And that's where there's a whole different kind of a payoff that you can't necessarily measure in dollars. But if you've got it working, if your network is engineered properly, and you have good solutions, and you have employees who get it and pick up on these tools, then it's very quick to see that the benefits go well beyond saving a few bucks on your line charges. It really translates into a whole new world of not just being more efficient and productive. I think we all can see how that can happen. But because this technology changes all the time, it does something else too, and that empowers employees. Not all of us are savants on computers. I think you and I know that. But all of a sudden, when these tools become easy to use and they become magically powerful, that enables everybody to embrace technology and say, hey, this is a better world. I can do things more intelligently than I could ever do before, and it makes them more adaptive and receptive to more technology. And that's a very important outcome to have, because we're only going to keep advancing with these technologies. It's not just going to stop and go away. So the more you invest in it, the more you empower your people to use it, the more you're going to have the ability to have advantage out of having these tools down the road.
Great. And that's about all we have time for today. Thanks for joining us, John.
Okay. Hey, Elaine, you're very welcome.
For more information on VoIP Islands, check out John's tip series on searchunifiedcommunications.com. This has been Elaine Hom, and thanks for joining us.